Today I want to continue to speak with you about the crises of discernment. A crisis of discernment. Our country has been in a crisis for a long time. We have been watching since the 1960s a crisis of some proportion or another growing. I was watching a program the other day about the Watts riots of the late 1960s and the assassinations of the 1960s, and then of course the crises that went into Watergate and the gas crises, and then the one crisis after another, and so there's crises, political and social and economic crises, that have been going on for a long time. There's not like anything new happening, except it seems to me the difference is that the church has gotten confused about its role in these things. And so I want to speak with you, I want to elaborate just a little bit more on what I mean by a crisis of discernment. In my first brief devotional, I mentioned to you that my concern is that we have come to the point where we are now placing the divide in the wrong place. Instead of placing it biblically where it belongs, between this present evil age and the kingdom of God, we have placed it between left and right, as if that's where God places it. Well, I've told you, and I want to reiterate again today, that that is not where God places it. God places it between this present fallen age and his kingdom, the kingdom of his beloved Son. And we read last week out of 1 John, and I'm going to return back to that and talk with you just a bit more about what I mean by that. I read to you last time 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, in which John calls us to test the spirits, but not believe every spirit. In other words, John was faced with the church in a crisis of discernment. He said, do not believe every spirit. The early Christian community had men and women, most likely, coming in and offering alternative teachings to that of the apostles. And this was such a growing problem that John is now exhorting the Christians to exercise discernment. Don't believe every spirit. Don't believe everybody who comes along and says that they are a Christian and offers you an alternative to the apostolic gospel, but test the spirits. Now, this tells us that there's a spiritual battle going on. It's a spiritual battle going on for the heart and minds of believers. And so we have to be careful to learn to test the spirits. Now, we want to be careful not to get into some spooky or complex way of doing this. This is not something where you have to take a weekend course on learning how to discern evil spirits. This is very clear. He lays it out here in front of us. He says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus as the Christ, who has come in the flesh, is from God. Simple enough. But every spirit that refuses to confess Jesus, that spirit is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and now is already in the world. So John is placing the divide where it truly belongs. I exhorted you last time to stop placing the divide between left and right, between Democrat and Republican, liberal and conservative. Stop placing the divide where God does not. You are his child. If you are in Christ, you belong to him. You are his child. And you are to be representing his character, representing his standards, not that of the world. And so John advances that divide to beyond just the present evil age and the kingdom of God, to the divide between Christ and the Antichrist. Between Christ and the Antichrist. He says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus as the Christ, who has come in the flesh, is from God. I told you last time that what this means essentially is it certainly includes that we are to embrace the truth of the incarnation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God has become flesh and dwelt among us, and we've beheld His glory, John said. And so Jesus became fully man and fully God at the same time in order to do the work that only He could do. But as a man, He had to offer Himself as a man, perfect man, for an imperfect fallen world. And so the incarnation is, of course, a foundational teaching in Christianity. You cannot be a Christian. You cannot legitimately be a Christian if you deny the incarnation. But the incarnation also has implications. Right doctrine, sound doctrine, always has implications. And what I mean by that is that the implications of the incarnation is that a new standard, I told you, for humanity has been set. And that standard is Jesus Himself. So the old saying, to err is human and to forgive is divine. Well, that no longer applies. Jesus lived a perfect life, and that has been imputed to us by faith, so that we have acceptance before the Father. But that doesn't license us to live in any way other than He lived. We are to strive to live out the character of Christ within us. However imperfectly that we do it, we are moving towards a time when we will be pure as He is pure, and that we want to see as much of that realized in this lifetime as possible. So, to live life in the flesh today, you and I, and again, when I say flesh, I'm not talking about the remaining sin. I'm talking about what it means to be in this body, this human body, this physical body. For you and I, the time that we have on this planet, living in this physical body, is to be lived as Jesus lived it. And that is in loving obedience to the Father, to the Father's character being worked out and put on display through His deeds, in His actions. Now, this is a theme for John. This is a theme. In 1 John 2, I read you last time. He says, I'll read a little context there. 1 John 2:4, the one who says, I have come to know God, and yet does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in such a person. But whoever obeys His word, truly, in this person the love of God has been perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. How do we know? Because we obey Him. We walk in obedience, loving obedience, not slavish legalism or moralism, but we strive and long to do the will of the Father, just as Jesus kept and did the will of the Father. And He says in verse 6 then, the one who says he resides in God ought himself to walk as Jesus walked. Let me say that again. The one who says he resides in God ought himself to walk just as Jesus walked. Over in 1 John chapter 3, he says, see what sort of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called God's children. And indeed, we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Dear friends, we are God's children now, and what we will be has yet to be revealed. We know that whenever it is revealed, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope focused on Him, listen now, purifies himself just as Jesus is pure. End quote. So this is a theme for John. We are to walk as Jesus walked. The error that John was combating in this letter was that if you were spiritually alive, if you were spiritually pure, it didn't matter what you did with your body. You could act out in gluttony or moral indifference or moral immorality, sexual immorality. You could act out in any number of ways in your body, that the material world was evil anyway, so it didn't really matter what you did in your body as long as you stayed spiritually pure. And there's little strains of that, I told you, that continue to flow within Christianity in America, that somehow if you're saved, quote unquote, that it really doesn't matter if you what you do with your body, that if you fall into adultery, you fall into fornication, you fall into drunkenness, you fall into regular practices of sin, or you treat people poorly, or you neglect the material needs of those in front of you, then it really doesn't matter because, after all, you're spiritually pure. That is a form of this old error that John is refuting here. He's saying, no. If you are in him, you can discern whether you are in him if you are walking like him. If you are seeking more daily to be purified of things that aren't of God and to walk just as Jesus is pure. In 1 John 3:16, we read, "We have come to know love by this." See, this is another point of discernment. Do we even know what love looks like today? We can't know outside of the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus defines love. There's no legitimate love in the world. There's no legitimate love that can be found outside of Christ. "We have come to know the love by this," he says, "that Jesus laid down his life for us. Thus we ought to lay to lay down our lives for our fellow Christians." And then he goes on to talk about the practicality of that, of making ourselves, our resources available to those in need. "But whoever has this world's possessions and sees his fellow Christian in need and shuts off his compassion against him, how can the love of God reside in such a person?" John's making some very practical applications and some very important points of discernment as to whether you are a Christian, whether I am a Christian, or anybody else is a Christian. So before we throw our hat in the ring behind any political movement, any social movement, or any economic movement, any kind of spirituality, our primary obligation first is to determine whether this is of Christ or not. We've been placing the divide in the wrong place for a long time. Where John places it is not between left and right, but between Christ and Antichrist. Let me say that again. John is placing the dividing line of discernment not between left wing or right wing, but between Christ and Antichrist. This is very important. Many people today are worried about when the Antichrist is going to rise. When the Antichrist coming? Well, let me just encourage you that you better sharpen your discernment. Because the Antichrist is alive and well in the world today in people who walk in lawlessness and yet claim to be Christians. He says in verse 3 of chapter 4, "But every spirit that refuses to confess Jesus, that spirit is not from God, and this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and now is already in the world." Lawlessness, folks, that's what defines the Antichrist. He's the man of lawlessness. And where you see political or social or where economic lawlessness, moral lawlessness, you see the Antichrist. But not just lawlessness. Lawlessness that claims the name of Christ. Lawlessness that says, I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, to whomever I want, and it's okay. Because I'm a Christian. But I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian, even though I do whatever I want, with whomever I want, however I want. Folks, that is Antichrist. in Christ is the one who seeks to do the will of the Father, who laid down his life for us. Let this mindset be in you, Paul says in Philippians 2, that was also in Christ. And then he goes on to define a life of obedience, perfect obedience to the will of God. A life that was obedient to death, even death on a cross. Death that glorified the Father and saved you and I. Christ is loving righteousness. That's what Christ represents. There's the point of discernment for you and I. It's loving righteousness. In 1 John 3:9, he says, "Everyone who has been fathered by God does not practice sin, because God's seed resides in him, and thus he is not able to sin, because he has been fathered by God." Those who are born of God do not make a practice of sin. By this the children of God and the children of the devil are revealed. See, there you go. There's John one more time, placing the dividing line where it belongs, folks. By this the children of God and the children of the devil are revealed. Everyone who does not practice righteousness, the one who does not love his fellow Christian, by the way, is not of God. So, let me just summarize quickly. I wanted to get back to this topic of the crises of discernment. And the crises is based upon the fact that we have placed the dividing line of discernment in the wrong place. We've gotten lured away from the biblical point of discernment, and we've placed the dividing line between left and right, left-wing and right-wing politics, to the point where we can believe that somehow a Republican is a Christian regardless of that person's man or woman's behavior. And we must repent of that error. And it's true on the left side too. I have acquaintances on both the left and the right side of political junkies. And I mean junkies. These are people who live for politics. And I know them well enough to know that I can't see much of them. It's just difficult for me to be around them because they are so rabid on their opinions. But many times they believe, these people are Christians. They're professing Christians on the left and on the right. And you would think that God had called his son into the world to create a political movement. Do you see the error? Do you see how biblically wrong this is? God places the divide where it belongs in Scripture. And that is between this present evil age in which both Democrat and Republicans belong and the kingdom of God, the kingdom of his beloved Son. And you, beloved, God, if you are in Christ, God has acted so as to save you from this present evil realm and translate you into the kingdom of his dear Son. And so the dividing line is there. What I've told you today specifically is that the dividing line in discernment is between the Antichrist and Christ, the man of lawlessness and the one who fulfilled the law in his perfect obedience to the Father. We belong to him. We, therefore, ought to be showing it in our character as well. We believe in the incarnation, not on just a creedal basis. It's not just something we hang on the wall. We show we believe in the creation when we seek to walk as Jesus walked. Because Jesus lived and set the standard for human behavior. That's what it means when we confess that Jesus is come in the flesh. He's fully human and fully God. And as fully human, he set the new standard for how you and I are to live out our humanity as well. Isn't that exciting? Because it isn't something we drum up within ourselves. It isn't something that we buck up. This is not another form of religious moralism. This is something that is empowered in us by the Holy Spirit, that the Word of God guides us to, and it's a place where we just read. It gives us hope. And everyone who has this hope focused on Him, focused on whom? Jesus. Our hope is not in a politician or a political movement or a social movement or an economic system. Our hope is in Christ. And everyone who has this hope focused on Him purifies himself just as Jesus is pure. Jesus Christ Himself is our point of discernment. This is profound. So I wanted to just take a few minutes here to exhort you and elaborate a little bit more on what I had said in my previous episode of this, Crises of Discernment. I hope this has been helpful. Please take it to heart. Please apply it. And may the Lord bless you as you do. Amen.